This is the Mason Vera Payne Show, your go-to lifestyle program, covering everything from technology and gaming to movies, TV shows, and pop culture to the supernatural and beyond. Brought to you by WGNRadio.com with your host, the unabridged millennial, Mason Vera Payne.
Mason Vera Payne here, live from the MVP Studios in Chicago, and thank you for tuning in. There have been some situations where people are not aware that their identity has been stolen until they're about to do something like purchase a home, open a bank account, file taxes, or even apply for some form of assistance. Chief Information Security Officer at Zipro, Steve Churchian, explains what you can do to protect your identity and what to do if you have been compromised. Thanks for joining me, Steve.
Oh, my pleasure.
In this day and age, how are criminals able to get access to your information?
It's funny you ask, is we're essentially giving it away. We're giving all of our personal information willingly to criminals. Think about what you would post on Facebook or Twitter or even LinkedIn about yourself. You know, we use LinkedIn for posting about our careers and our resume and everything that we've done throughout our lifetime, so we can highlight our accolades and our accomplishments and our responsibilities and network with like-minded individuals. But criminals and thieves are using that against us, similar to Facebook. We post about our personal life, we share our kids' photos, we share all kinds of personal information about ourselves, you know, our kids' first day of school. Some people will tag the school that the pictures are from. And we're not just giving our personal information away, we're giving away information about our children. Now, a criminal can go in there with a couple of searches, collate all this information from multiple websites, and build an entire profile of you. An interesting one is a website like Zillow. You go on Zillow, and you can see the insides of people's houses. They're taking pictures because they want to sell the house. But not only now criminals build a profile of that person, but now they can see what the inside of their house looks like. So it's really scary out there, the way they're using information that we're willingly providing against us.
Now, it's funny you mentioned Zillow. What about like those things like classmate finders or even white pages that put your name up there and all your information and you didn't ask them to? I mean, your information's already out there and it's pretty hard to take down.
Yeah, there's quite a few of those websites that are doing that automatically without us even knowing. They're just scraping all of these websites for public information, putting it all into a single location, and boom, there you go. And in some cases, they're charging a subscription fee, hiding some critical information that a thief might want to know. So you can go on there, pay $14 or whatever it is, and have access to all types of information that's publicly available that any typical person would have to put some effort to find out. You can find people's criminal histories and divorce and custody battles and all of that information in one click for $14.
Now, one of the problems that I have is Social Security number. I mean, usually, personally, I would think, hey, as long as my Social Security number isn't out there, why would it matter if my email address is?
Yeah, assume your Social Security number is out there, but even your email address makes you a target. You can go on the dark web, and what criminals are doing is just buying lists and lists of email addresses. Let's say you buy a list of a million email addresses, and you start spamming them. Spamming and phishing is a very low cost, very lucrative, very low effort type of attack. But even if you get 1% to respond out of those 1 million email addresses that you've collected, even if you get 1% to respond and maybe click on a link or put in credit card information or put in other sensitive information that you're trying to collect, that's a huge return on your invest for a criminal for very little effort.
Now, one of the things I like to look at, and it's just recently I found this guy. His name is Kid Boga. He does a lot of scam stuff on YouTube. And what he likes to do is he'll call scammers up and he trolls them and keeps them on the phone for like 2 hours or 3 hours pretending to be a little old lady. And it's really funny, but it just goes to show how these scammers will get angry at the caller and try to force them to give them the bank account information. Like, you're going to go to jail. I'm calling the police right now if you don't give me that account number. That's pretty scary. I mean, what can you do if you are not savvy enough to know that these are scam artists? What can you do to protect yourself?
It's very little you can do unless you're educated and somebody informs you that this is the reality of the world we're living in right now. There's enough people out there where there's an entire economy in some countries that are built around scamming in this fashion. There's entire call centers in some of these countries that's whose main purpose is just to go down these lists of phone numbers. And again, if you're getting a 1% return on your investment for dialing 1,000 phone numbers a day, even if you get 10 of them to respond, that's, again, that's what's going to make it worthwhile. So there's an entire economy. And unfortunately, there's enough people that are coming of age that are not computer technology or privacy savvy, and coming from a background where you trust everybody, right? I mean, I hate to say it, but a lot of the older generation was used to sleeping with their door open at night. You know, I've heard this all the time. You know, we don't lock our doors. We sleep with the door open. We sleep with the windows open. That used to be the case years and years ago. It's no longer the case now. It's just the scary new world we're living in.
It's funny. My friend, she actually kind of trained her father to always say, my daughter handles that. So whenever somebody would call about finances, bank statements, or even his rent, he would say, hey, you need to speak to my daughter about that. And he would give them her phone number. And I thought that was pretty clever.
Yeah, it's scary, though, when you get a phone call saying the police are going to come and arrest you if you don't give up a credit card number because you've got an outstanding IRS debt or some other scary fear that they're capitalizing on. So they're preying on fear and ignorance. So it's tough because you're dealing with a culture who's very, very used to trusting everybody around them.
Yeah, I had to tell my mother that, hey, man, the IRS, they don't make home phone calls. That's it. They send certified letters. That's it.
yeah. They're getting a lot more clever, too. I was reading of a scam just not too long ago where they'll call your house and say, I've got a delivery for you, whether it's flowers, whether it's package of alcohol, whatever. Somebody sent you a gift where the delivery person's coming over in an hour. Delivery person shows up as described and asks for a credit card number. They ask for a credit card number because they need to validate that the person receiving the alcohol as a gift is over 18 or over 21. That's the scam that they're using. All they're doing is stealing the credit card number and taking off.
Wow, that's clever.
Yeah, and we're going to see more and more of this as an economy is being built around these types of scams. We're going to see more and more clever tactics like this that is just preying on people's trust and ignorance.
Okay, let's say that it happened. Somebody got your information. What can you do now?
It's tough. It'll turn somebody's life upside down. It can make it very, very difficult because you've got to prove that you've been a victim of fraud. In most cases, if it's credit card fraud, the credit card company will take care of it. That's a non-issue. Now you start seeing Social Security fraud, medical fraud, or even real estate fraud, which is a big business right now. That becomes much more difficult to rectify. You've got to go through multiple hoops. You've got to, in some cases, get new identities, new Social Security numbers, those types of things. So luckily, I've never been in that position. I know several people who have, and it's not an experience I would recommend anybody want to go through. That's why it's critical to protect your personal data as much as possible.
Well, I've had my credit card stolen, but that one's pretty easy. You can just dispute the charges and bada bing, bada boom. It's all fixed. No harm, no foul, at least for me. In the case of a person I know, my cousin, he actually had his Social Security taken. And one of the things that worries me is he is not moving fast enough to file a police report. What's the limit? Like, let's say he had his identity stolen a week ago. How fast or how soon should he go to the police? Like, hey, something happened to me.
ASAP, and they've got an entire division. Most law enforcement agencies have an entire division that'll deal with this specifically. So, and in some cases, the FBI will get involved too. But you have to report that immediately. Yes, they've probably got a backlog of cases. Yes, you're probably one of multiple people that this is happening to on a daily basis. But you've got to report it because you're going to need that paper trail to prove that it wasn't you that did these transactions. So you do need to establish that paper trail and that proof and that evidence. So when push comes to shove and you need to actually certify that this wasn't you, you didn't make these purchases or you didn't take out these lines of credit or you didn't purchase that house that you now defaulted on, you need to protect yourself. There's no harm in taking care of this right away. There's only harm if you wait.
Just to recap, if you wait, you may have to pay everything back, essentially.
I don't know if that would be the case. It just becomes more and more difficult to prove the longer and longer that time period goes by. So just like anything else, if you lose your credit card, you're going to call your credit card company right away, right? In most cases, there's no reason why you shouldn't be doing the same thing with your identity. If you see something fraudulent happening, something's compromised, you see some activity on your credit report that shouldn't be there, take care of that right away.
Yeah, he's not the first person I know that has waited to get a police report. Do you know why people wait that long, like, you know, a month or two?
So what I've heard is they're not going to do anything about it. And that's not true. That's not the case. But like I said, you need to establish that paper trail. Get the police involved because you're going to be asked for this information when the time comes.
What are some preventative measures that people can do to protect their identity?
Going back to what we were discussing at the start of the interview is just be careful what type of information that you're sharing, because expect your information is out there, but don't willingly be participating in giving that information up. The other thing I see a lot of people doing is carrying their social security number or social security card or something with their social security number in their wallet or somewhere where it can get lost. If you need your social security number, take a picture of it, store it on your phone, or memorize it is what I would say. There's no reason for you to be carrying around your social security card. If your social security number is asked for and it seems suspicious, don't give it out. You'll see a lot of applications in doctor's offices or when you're filling out certain applications that will ask for a lot of personal information. They'll ask for social security numbers, they'll ask for all kinds of stuff. I always leave that blank. There's no reason for, let's say, a doctor or a dentist to be asking me for my social security number. If there's a reason, then they can come back to me and ask me and provide justification why they're asking for it. Because once you put your number on that form, now you're trusting that they're going to do everything possible to protect that piece of paper. And a lot of the times, you've heard the term dumpster diving. A lot of these papers end up in the dumpster, and thieves know that. That's where they go dumpster diving and start pulling out these pieces of paper. And boom, they've got all of your identity right then and there for them.
You know, it's funny you say that. When I was 18, I worked at a collection agency. And the only reason that we collected people's social security numbers was because we used it as a filing system. It was a lot easier than having to figure out John Doe 1 or John Doe the 2nd. Everybody has their own unique number, and it was more for filing than anything. But I always found it funny that an 18-year-old had all your credit history.
Yeah, I was going to say the exact same thing. As you're kind of proving my point there. Like, you're trusting a bunch of 18-year-olds to protect somebody's entire life. And the key to that, their life, is that social security number. So an 18-year-old, that's just a job, right? You're just going in and filing or doing what you have to do. But in most cases, you don't care how that piece of paper or how that information is protected. You're just doing your job.
Yeah, it was. And we were all under 26 years old, and we were just... Yep. Collecting all this money for people, and your information was all on this piece of paper, and everybody had access to it.
Exactly. And once you're done with it, boom, you put it all in the garbage bin and it goes out back and goes into the dumpster.
Well, you know what? We did have a shredding company, but who knows what they did with it? We just put it in a box and gave it to these guys, and apparently it was shredded.
That's fantastic, though. You're one of the few I've heard of, but in a lot of cases, these things do end up in the dumpster. That's why the term dumpster diving came about.
Yeah, just go grab receipts, and the credit card information used to be on the receipts back in the day, too.
Exactly. Those little swipe machines that they had that take an imprint of your card. I had tons of friends working in the retail business back then, back when they were using the imprint machines. And those receipts, again, just ended up in the trash.
That's so wild. Information was all over the place. And it still is the same thing, though. It's just electronically this time.
It's still the same thing. It's just digital. So back then, we weren't as conscious to it because these mega breaches and the impacts from it weren't in our face like they are right now. But even that, it seems like people are going numb to it. That, yes, there's another mega breach. Yes, this retailer got breached or that person got breached and, you know, they stole 2 million account records. What does that mean for me? It doesn't change my life. But again, just be careful what's being shared out there. Don't make their job easier.
That's so true, because your information is just given to everybody. How many times has Facebook been hacked and 200,000 people's information is out on the black market? You're right. You do get numb to it. But what can you do? Your information is out there. You really can't pull back now. Is the only thing you can do is call the credit bureaus and say, hey, watch out for my accounts?
Yeah, credit monitoring works. I don't know if there's a lot you can do. It's just assume your information's out there. I assume my information's out there. I just watch everything closely just to make sure that as soon as something hits and it wasn't me that did it, that I can do something about it, that I can take corrective measure. You don't want to find out, you know, a year from now, 2 years from now, when you're getting married, when you're buying a house, when you're trying to take out a mortgage, or you're trying to start a business, that you've had some sort of fraud on your credit report, and it's been there for 2 years. Now it becomes very, very difficult to prove that it wasn't you, because the first question you're going to be asked was, well, why didn't you do something about it back then? And it's going to seem really foolish if your answer is, well, I didn't know about it, because these credit monitoring tools and everything else is there. They say, check your credit report, check it constantly, check it every month, check it every 6 months, check it whenever you can. And it's probably the best thing we can do is just keep an eye on our digital life that way.
Well, Steve, thank you so much for joining me. I really appreciate you being here. For those listening, where can they find more information about you?
I'm the Chief Information Security Officer at Xypro.com, X-Y-P-R-O.com. You can follow our LinkedIn, our Twitter. You can also find me at Steve Churchian, T-C-H-E-R-C-H-I-A-N, on LinkedIn and on Twitter.
This has been the Mason Vera Payne Show. Thanks for listening. Can't wait to hear more? Subscribe, rate, and comment at masonverapaine.com. That's MasonVeraPaine.com. Also, follow Mason on Facebook and Twitter at Mason Vera Payne. That's all one word. And don't forget to share the show with your friends.